Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we all want to wish you a happy August already, if you can think about it. And with August comes the back to school rush. And we know that kids are heading back to the classroom. We're going to have a university full of students. And with that, gardening does not stop as far as your lessons or your classes. And Jan, before the show, you were telling us that the El Paso Community College Home Gardening in El Paso class just completed.
Yes, I teach the container gardening class, and it's usually the last one of the series. And we had a rather small class this time, but very enthusiastic. I think some folks that are interested on, you know, moving on to the next level, maybe taking the Master Gardener class, which we're real excited about. But it's neat to see folks come in and, you know, get a handle. There's some folks that were new to El Paso. Of course, our military people, that's a really wonderful opportunity. So we're hopeful that the class will make again in the fall out there. And we certainly recommend and invite you to watch for the catalog when it comes out. And it's really a fun way to get kind of a junior Master Gardener class.
Right,
on,
exactly.
On eight Saturdays.
Master Gardener Light.
There you go, program. Master Gardener Light.
We'll keep the juniors for the kids.
There you go. That's true. Yeah, junior, what am I thinking? Yes. I got my names mixed up.
And you still have a couple of weeks if you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener and filling out an application. They are available online, and John's got the schedule. We're all set to go. The orientation begins on September the 30th, and that'll be a half-day orientation, and then every Thursday thereafter, we're going to have an all-day class. We're going to be at the County Extension Office from 8:30 to 4 o'clock on Thursdays for the Master Gardener class. And we cover everything from tree care to lawn maintenance to vegetable gardening, native plants, everything in between. It's certainly a really big class if you have some time to take some courses in becoming a Master Gardener, to be able to want to kind of solve some problems in your own yard, and then your willingness to share that knowledge with the community is really what makes a true Master Gardener.
It is, and it's, you know, having been in the association as an official Master Gardener since 2010, it's just been phenomenal. The people are incredible, and the things that we've learned, it's like getting a mini hort degree in those weeks that we, you know, that we are in class, and that's vital. But then we get out and start digging in the dirt, and
right.
that's the great part of it, and you know, getting experience in different areas that are applicable to El Paso, Texas, not, you know, sunny downtown New Hampshire or something, because all the things in the magazines are wonderful, but they don't necessarily apply to us. So do give it some consideration and come on down and join us.
It's a good course because you have speakers that are knowledgeable on different subject matter, so it gives you a chance to ask questions. But also, like you said, everything's kind of oriented to the local area, so.
And there's this guy named John White that teaches some of our classes. So that in and of itself, you know, we always say John is a walking horticultural encyclopedia. So that in and of itself is a great reason to come take the class.
And John, you know, some of the challenges that we have, you know, not just homeowners are great. They're engaged. They learn their stuff. They share their stuff. But sometimes we have some issues with the green industry professionals that are out there. And I know that with these summer rains coming in, we have all these maintenance crews out there doing some godforsaken things on some some of our native plants on there. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how do we take care, how do we prune cacti and other desert succulents. And we're looking at a great publication put out by the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension as well. And it's talking a little bit about how you prune your desert succulents. And one of my favorite desert plants is the ocotillo. And you see that all the time, trimmed down right about 4 feet for some reason.
Yeah, topped.
And topped. And
chainsaw
then
massacre.
You've completely ruined the entire form of the plant as well. And that ocotillo should just really be set in its place and left alone.
Let it go and let its natural beauty just shine through. And not only that, it's a favorite of our hummingbirds. And of course, you know, anybody who's listened to the program before knows that I love the hummingbirds. But they feed off of it. It's a great perch for them. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful plant. And like you say, it needs to just be left alone. And it's, if you're going to plant it in your landscape, great, do that and make sure that you have enough room and so forth and so on. But please don't be chopping at it.
Right. Exactly. So that's one thing to be able to look at. Another one is our agaves as well. And I think the term is like a pineapple.
Right.
Shape is really what...
Sotals. I mean, they do it. Sotals, yuccas. Yeah, they make them look like pineapple. They right. prune off all the lower leaf blades and kind of form this little bald ball. Right. With a few, you know,
and then wonder why they get pests in there.
Out the top. Yeah. Right. And a lot of them do it, they say, is to allow trash to blow on through.
I see.
And that, you know, but that's kind of dumb reasoning. I mean, you know, if you have trash blowing around, maybe you do need to catch it and get it collected and get rid of it. But you want the plant to grow to its, you know, it has a nice symmetrical shape to it, mm-hmm. you know, very, very low, you know, maintenance
and water.
And so why start mm-hmm. clipping on it? Let it go.
Right. Well, don't you think that goes back a lot to when you do plant those things in your landscape, you need to plan. And because I'm so personally guilty of this, plan for the mature size of the plant. And, you know, people say, well, I'm going to hack back at that thing because it's in the sidewalk. Don't plant it 6 inches from the sidewalk. And so that goes back to initial planning of your landscape.
I mean, I've run across where people have cut red yuccas back.
Oh, my goodness.
And the red yucca blades are soft. I mean, not super soft, but they're flexible. Mm-hmm. They aren't real pokey. You can walk past them and they'll just
they're not
brush
jump
off your leg.
Right.
Yeah. And yet people cut those mm-hmm. back like they're some dangerous plant.
My goodness.
Now the cholla cactus, that's another one. That's another one.
That, beware.
Beware of that puppy because it jumps out and gets you, I think. But there again, think about where you're planting those things. If that's a cacti that you really love, then that's great. But make sure that you're observant and planning ahead when you put those plants in.
Well, the cholla, prickly pears, you know, things mm-hmm. like that, there are joints on them where you can make cuts and right. you can remove part of the plant if it's growing out near a sidewalk, or you know, you can move them back a little bit and kind of
yeah.
contain them a little bit, but you got to make those cuts at the right point.
Well, and you were talking about the trash and everything. Buy yourself a, you know, go to the dollar store, buy yourself a long pair of tongs or right. or fish hook remover and you know, pull that stuff out of those armed plants and quite often it's not our own trash, but you know, during our windy seasons right. and stuff, it blows in. But, you know, you just keep things cleaned up.
And as they get bigger, they will develop a little bit of a trunk, and they'll actually come up off the ground a little bit.
So sure, then, right.
Then you don't need to worry about it. Then your trash can blow through mm-hmm. to your neighbor's yard.
And they do take up a lot of space, too. You know, prickly pears are your native plants as well. But, you know, when you're looking at that and you give them enough space to be able to grow, and sometimes they'll do kind of sprawl out into the neighbor's yard or up against the property line where you don't want it, but you can always cut that back. But I think one of the biggest things with our native plants is they are also acting as a habitat for our birds and as well. And I know we had a Mexican cardinal that would come every year, and he'd live in and around the nopal, with the prickly pear, in our front yard. And it was just a delight to be able to see him. So, you know, the other birds would come in and take off the ripe prickly pear fruit as well. So, I mean, even though there's plants really don't really have a lot of maintenance issues mm-hmm. with the occasional cutting off, they do really contribute back to your landscape.
It's that balance of nature. It truly
the
is.
Habitat as nature. Well.
Yeah, we have some birds that are kind of common in your yards, and you'll see them with kind of a little bit of a bent beak. And
They like
to dig in your yard, and they love the arborescent yuccas.
Mm-hmm.
And they get up in there, and they'll make a nest up in those yuccas, and they're kind of elevated off the ground, so predators aren't a big problem. They're protected by the yucca blades, and they have their nest up there, and they, you know, they do great. So yeah, those a lot of those plants are habitat to wildlife.
For the things that live here naturally.
And I just think that maintenance guys, like, I don't, there's like there's no vested interest into the mm-hmm. landscape itself. And, you know, they're paid to maintain the spot. So they feel like every time they're out there, they have to do something, I guess, to justify their existence.
Leave evidence that they were there.
Right, exactly. And it irks me. You have to just look at the actual natural way that these plants are growing and know that this is not the way to be able to maintain them.
Right, and the idea behind, you know, using cactus and succulents is lower maintenance.
Right.
So why create maintenance?
Exactly.
That really is true. It's they are the easiest plants in the world to take care of, and even your smaller succulents the same way, you know. And I think we tend to drown them. I think more succulents die from overwatering than underwatering. You know, mm-hmm. have some good drainage in there, and they provide color. There's some that grow in the summer, some that grow in the winter, and have beautiful blossoms on them, and it's a great way to, and besides that, it's a cheap way to garden too,
right?
Because cuttings are available from friends and family and so forth and so on, but the big ones, you know, and some of them, they're armed and dangerous, but just be sensible and don't be, that's another good
that's
use for rose gloves.
That's when you get the dongs out.
That's right.
Exactly. And what about some maintenance on there? Like John, what about like sotals? You know, these guys are going to bloom. And when is it, you know?
Yeah, sotals, when they do bloom, I like to wait for the stalk to dry before I cut it off. So you want to cut it down as low as you can into the plant without damaging the head of the plant. But, the stalks can be used later for, you know, we use them to put on top of a structure we have, and the stalks form kind of a shade area. So we kind of do the basic outline on the top of the structure so that the yucca and sotal stalks can be laid on top of it.
It's a sotal pergola?
Sotal pergola. And they, people make walking sticks out of them, you know, different things. And our little black,
the cutter,
but big, yeah. Our big carpenter bee love to make nests out of those yucca stalks and sotal stalks. And so, they help with habitat, so. And those bees are good for pollinating plants, and
certainly.
So we want to keep them in the area.
Mm-hmm. And they won't bloom every year, right?
No.
Okay, but still,
they're more regular than agaves.
Agaves, right?
Well, very what about Hesperalos, John? I have three at my house, and one is a new one. Compliments of the plant sale, and it has a bloom stalk, so I need to. I always think it's about done, and then it seems like it's not.
Yeah, the Hesperalos red yuccas, I like to, again, cut those off when they're dry. But if they form some seed pods, just go ahead and clip the seed pod off and let them continue blooming.
Okay, great.
Excellent. Wonderful. So I think we have a lot of excellent gardening tips for our native plants and our cacti and other desert succulents in our area. We hope that you enjoyed our gardening tips. And the next time you're driving around, take a look at those landscapes around town, and now you'll know how not to prune plants. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. We want to thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.